Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. 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 Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth.
Hallelujah.
God is just so good.
Hallelujah.
We all need somebody to lean on.
Hallelujah.
No man is island. We need somebody to lean on. And we're going to lean on the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're not going to lean to our own understanding. We're going to lean on God.
Yes.
Amen. We all need somebody to lean on, no matter who we are and who we think we are, no matter how strong we are, no matter how weak we are, no matter how smart we are, no matter how dumb we are, as they say, we're going to need somebody to lean on. This is Thursday Thirst for Truth, and I am your host, Elder QT Docs. I'm here bringing you the word from the heart, from the spirit, from the being the vessel of God, being used. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. God is just so wonderful. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I ask you for a fresh vision for what breakthrough will look like in my life, dear Lord, at this particular time. Help me to pursue healing, healing of my heart, while I wait for my miracle. Show me, dear Father, show me how to rest right in the middle of the storm. Amen. Help me to enjoy the feast that you prepare for me, dear God, in the presence of my enemy, right in the middle of the battlefield. I know you are there, dear God. I want my whole life, dear God, to testify that there is a God in heaven and on earth who knows my name, and who will get me safely home. Amen. Fill me, Father God. Fill me afresh with the wonder of your love and power. Oh, Heavenly Father, I am determined to win this battle. To win this battle that I'm going through personally, dear God, that I'm going through with anxiety, with stress, dear Lord, with just thoughts. Help me, Father God. Help me to discern when to rest, when to feast, and how to actively engage my faith as I wait for you, dear Lord, as I wait for you. Wait for this breakthrough. May my life display your power, dear God, your strength, your trust, your faith, your hope. Dear Lord, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to do the impossible in and through me, around me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' matchless, marvelous, miraculous name. Amen, amen. I'm your host once again, Elder QT Docs. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Thirst for truth. I'm coming to you. I will be coming to you out of Psalms and a few other books. Psalms 13:1 says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" You know, that is so powerful. We go through these stages in our lives, and things, you know, we have a lot of tragedies and heartaches and whatever that might appear before us, and we have to know the enemy is there waiting on us, because that's an opening. You know, we talk about tragedy, and we always say that when there's a tragedy, you go to a funeral, and that's the time to minister to those, because those are the most vulnerable parts at that particular time that you can souls, you can bring people to salvation, you can talk to them, and that's the time that they will reason, be in a spirit of reasoning and listening to you. But that's also the same time that the enemy, that Satan, is there too. Satan is there to also get into their hearts, also get into their minds, and distort their thoughts and their thinking, to allow them to think ill, that whose fault it is. Is it, you know, it's not your fault, you know, it's God's fault. Or the Satan is there to tell them that God could have done something, God could have stepped in. And, you know, Satan is there just as well as, you know, the saints are there to put their words in of to try to capture those individuals at that particular moment. But however, we must know that we got both sides. You know, we have to make sure that although we're there, we have to realize that Satan is right there behind us, telling them the same thing, but in the opposite direction. Amen. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? You know, David in the deepest part of his life was talking about how long, dear God. He was talking about that when he was running from Saul. And he's running from Saul, and he's wondering, you know, Lord, how long, O Lord, you know, will you forget me forever? You know, I'm going through this, and you promised me that I will be king. You know, and you know, and I said that to myself. I said, oh Lord, you promised me though that I will be a father. I will be there. You know, I will be there for my son. I will be there. You know, and David is begging the Lord. He's telling the Lord, how long, oh Lord, you know, will you forget me? And as he's going through this, he said, they're after me, dear God. And, you know, my in-laws are all after me. He said, you know, they're hunting me, you know, because Saul, here he is, you know, your old father-in-law is coming after you, trying to kill you, trying to destroy you, trying to, you know, it's, you know, what a filly, you know, where to? So David's running. He's running. You know, he's running to get away from Saul. Saul, his army, and, you know, but David also know that the covenant of God, the promise that God had bestowed upon him, and although he was being threatened from all ends, and he's running, he had no place to go. He's felt that he's being abandoned. He's being, you know, rejected, dejected, along this route, and he's begging God, you know, where are you? You know, I'm here all alone. I need you. And so David's running. He's running to get away. He's running to the cave, and he's felt that he's the only one now that's being abandoned, that's being sought after, and there's no help. And he's there, and he's looking to God for his help. David is running. You know, he's feeling that I'm all alone. He's feeling abandoned. And how long, oh Lord, will you forget me forever? You know, when David's having this feeling, but when I feel like that, you know, I've lost, you know, like David said, you know, it feels like he lost God's blessing because he's seeking God's help. You know, how long will you hide? You know, David's hiding his face, and you know, how long will you hide your face from me? He's begging God, you know, where are you? I need you. I'm calling on you. I need you. I need your strength. I need your hope. I need you. And it appears to David that he's being abandoned by God. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't sense that God is there. And we know that he is, but sometimes we don't think he is because of what we're going through, the suffering, the trials and tribulation. But he is. Sometimes we don't think that he is watching over us. But he is. He is. But it doesn't appear that way at that particular time. When tragedy hits you right in the face, you want to blame somebody. You want to blame somebody. And you just don't know what to do. And you're just saying that, you know, how long, will God hide from me? I'm calling his name. You know, even David in his distress, he lost sight of God's presence and God's blessing that God had bestowed upon him. How long, oh Lord? You know, is it wrong to question God? You know, in the Bible, we often see believers questioning God, such as Habakkuk. You know, who asked, why is this evil happening? You know, God later answered him and said, he said, rejoice in the Lord. You know, his question was coming from a sincere heart. When Habakkuk was talking to God, he was asking with a sincere heart. He wasn't being blasphemous. He wasn't being derogatory. He's just asking that question. We do ask God questions when things happen. You know, Jesus even asked God questions when things happen. We have to ask God questions. You know, it's that tranquility, that sincerity that hits us on the inside of us, knowing that, you know, God, we need you. You know, show us a sign, show us something, dear Lord. You know, when life fills us on the inside, it clouds our thoughts, our hearts, and our minds, but yet we want to know how long, God, must we go through this? And I'm by myself, and we wonder is, who else is feeling the pain besides you, besides us? Amen. How long? But we must know that God is there. No matter what, he is there. We might not see him. We might not hear from him because we're too distraught in our thinking at that particular time. But his presence is a blessing. His presence is never going anywhere. Amen. You know, when my mind seemed to be in trouble, your mind is in so much trouble, and I feel like that because I lost, I lost a son, and I still, I was feeling that I was all alone, you feel that way, you ask, where is God, could he have done something, could he have stepped in, you wonder, you questioning, Lord, give me that strength, but at the same time, you have to watch out for the evil one, Satan, because Satan is saying all kinds of things. He's putting all kinds of thoughts in your head. He's doing this in order for you to denounce, in order for you to stray away from God. So you have to watch these things, because if he gets into your head and you allow those things to get deep enough, it starts working on your spirit. And before you know it, you might be saying things that's not appropriate. You might be saying things. So you always ask, how long, should I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily, amen? You want to find out, Lord, help me. Just lead me, direct me. Even David, in his experience, he was swept away by his own emotion. And that's common. We're human. We have that emotion. We had to ruminate so in times of disasters and that we was feeding on the dark thoughts of hopelessness. And that's what Satan is trying to come into us. And Satan is saying all kinds of things to keep us from looking towards the hills from where our strength comes. We have to watch those days when tragedy hits us right in the face. We have to watch how Satan will come in. And man, he will slap you really good. He will put thoughts in your head that will make you just say all kinds of things on the inside that he wants you to say, hey, this, follow me. I'm the way. See, you was following, you going one way, and it wasn't correct. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what you should do. Let me tell you what you should say. Let me tell you where you should go. Ignore that demon. Ignore that demon. You want to make sure your trust and your faith is in God. This is the time that your faith is being tested. Your trust in God is being tested. Your trust in your belief is being tested. Amen. We want to know these things when times and trouble arise. We want to be prepared. We want to be prepared to know that, hey, we're going to have to go through this. This is life. This is life. Amen. This is life. It's hard to stop the thoughts, but it's, if you know where your strength is coming from, that it's almost like your thoughts were snowballing, it's going down faster and faster and faster because of your emotions, and you have to know when to stick your arms out there snowballing and stop the roads, and to tell Satan that, hey, enough. Get behind me, Satan. My God is an awesome God, and he's going to bring me through this, regardless of what you're saying, regardless of those words, those voices you're hearing, that's not the voice of your father, because you know your father's voice. You want to keep on pushing, towards the strength where your God lies, not where Satan is trying to take you. When you start to begin to doubt God's plan for your life, God's thoughts, then you're in trouble. How long, how long, Father God, how long you keep asking, because you see where your enemy is trying to exalt you. Because David even asked that, how long will my enemy be exalting me over me? He's asking those questions. You ask those questions. I ask that question. Lord, how long? How long will this go on, dear Lord? And David said that in Psalms 13, he said, it's no use. Saul is going to win. He has all the troops, resources, and time he needs. He will end up destroying me. David, it sounds like he was just giving up. You know, he said that everything is against him. He sounds like he was powerless. He felt he was powerless. He knows Saul had everything at his disposal. Saul has everything. David's only one man trying to get away. But David didn't realize that God is standing in the gap. See, God that is before you is more than the enemy that is against you. See, David was going through so much changes and that he didn't realize his thoughts were sort of discombobulated. His thoughts were sort of confused, and he's wondering, you know, Lord, you know, look what's at hand. Look what I am facing. Do we say that to ourselves? Yes, I said it. You know, I looked at my situation, and I asked God, and God, look what I'm facing. You know, what could I have done? What could I have? You know, what could I do more? You know. How long can my arm stretch? You know, and, you know, how far can it go? You know, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? You know, who should I ask? Who should I talk to? You know, you got to know that you are not alone. God sends angels. God sends vessels. There's always a ram in the bush. There's always a ram in the bush. You know, it's like our fears and troubles follows us. You know, but we know that God is there. God is always there. So we're not alone. And when David was in the cave, and we know that it says that in Psalms 22, it states that, you know, so when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontent gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. You know, it's funny that when you think that you say, hey, well, dear Lord, I lost my son, you know, I lost, you know, my mother, I lost my father. You go on and you start repeating the things that you lost, but you have to realize, you know, just like David, when people start coming to support you, you're not the only one that has lost somebody. You're not the only one that's in distress. You're not the only one that's having anxiety. You're not the only one that's going through trials and tribulations. You're not the only one that's feeling pain and hurt. You're not the only one. There's other people out there. So you can't say that you can't see yourself as being on a mountain by yourself, because there's others out there that's going through the same thing you have. We all have to walk that journey. We all have to take that path. So you're not the only one. It's how you handle what is before you, how you look at your faith, how you handle the test that is before you. Amen. You want to know these things. You know, it's just we look at this and we say, God, you know, it's the truth concerning our life, the truth concerning our assignment, our journey, the assignment that we know that God has for us. You know, we know that the rough side of the mountain is going to get smooth. It's going to smooth its way out. You know, and that's the same is true in our life. But let the rough family times, the roller coaster ride of our emotion, the crash of our finance, or the plummet of our health, you know, it's going to go as a roller coaster. It's going to go up and down. Use your faith. Use your hope and trust. Use the word of God to guide you out of out of his emotional roller coasters. You know, David was going through this. David was going through this over and over, you know, as he was trying to capture God's attention, you know, as he fled to the wilderness, as he lived in the cave, you know. What is your cave time? Your cave time period, which is your deepest and darkest trial. We all going to have that cave time. You know, it's going to reveal to us that, you know, as David fled, we're going to flee to our cave. Things going to happen in our life. We're going to go to that dark area of our life, and we're going to have to understand that's going to be our cave, and we're going to flee there, and we're going to just get on our knees and pray and have that faith and have that trust and have that hope that God will bring us through. He will not abandon us. He will not forsake us. We might feel abandoned by everyone, even including God. That's within us. But we have to know that God did not abandon us. God is there. God is always with us. Always with us. Amen. And I am convinced that, you know, that abandonment feeling is very common among all believers. Because if you live long enough, you're going to go through trials and tribulation. That cave time is going to happen. And it's going to happen more than once. And what are your cave time? The cave time may start with a lengthy illness when strength never comes. Your whole future plans fade. And so does your hope. You know, we might fit into that cave time category. Our cave time might often begin with the unanticipated job loss or a subsequent tangled groin and seemingly hopeless financial needs. Our cave time. What is your cave time? Amen. Our cave time might commonly occur in prolonged marriage and family difficulties and problems with our children and with the law and kids going to jail and your children being on drugs or, you know, it goes on and on and on, your brothers or your sisters. You know, what's your cave time? Those wayward children can cause immeasurable pain for all parents and, you know, and for all believing parents. But you have to have that faith. You have to know that you have to pray your way through this. You must pray your way through this. What is your cave time? Our cave time might occur when demanding and unreasonable bosses or grueling and monitorious work schedule or jealousy of spirits or you know, from your coworkers, your neighbors, and it goes on and on. What is your cave time? How are you going to handle your cave time when it strikes you in the face and you have to go somewhere and just get on your knees and just pray and ask God to give you that strength because you're going to need it and give you a word. You want to ask him for the word. What is your cave time? The cave time might make you feel depressed and all alone. And that happens when you lose someone you love and you know, you feel all alone. You make excuses and you're trying to find out, you know, which way to turn in. And you point the fingers and you do that. You blame and you do all kinds of things that you wouldn't have done, but you were doing it because you feel it was help ease the pain, the hurt, the sorrow. But it does not. And you don't want you just want to tell Satan, you know, what kind of fool do you think I am? You want to stand up and you know, you want to stand up and just look at him and just tell Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? I'm not going to go that way. I know my Lord. I know his voice. I know what he can do. He is the true and living God. And there is no other God before him. regardless of what Satan might tell you. Satan might try to build you up and tell you all kinds of things. Man, you can get out by doing this. You can make it by doing that. And then at the end, he's going to let you down. Amen. Cave time. Because you no longer seem to have that support of your family, and that abandonment feeling leads into the downward spiral of thinking, no one cares for me. Sounding like David said, we may then, you know, it's just, we have to be better than that. We know we're going to have that emotional roller coaster. Or you're going to be that flatline individual. Flatline individual has no emotion. But that roller coaster emotion, you know, it takes you through a journey. And if you keep your eyes on the sparrow, you're going to know that journey is leading you towards God. Amen. What kind of cave were you in at one particular time? Because I know what kind of cave I was in. The problem is that many people, we often question God with a rebellious and untrusting heart, you know, not truly trying to get an answer from God because we're not listening, because we're going through so much. And then we try to attack the character of God, and because God allows something to happen, which we consider that it shouldn't have, we consider it shouldn't have happened. Amen. We don't have eyes to see the future. We don't even know the brilliant things that God is doing in our lives. Sometimes we might say, you know, why God? And later find out that the reason that God did this and that. Because I even asked God, why God? Why did you take my son? You know, why? But all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. And according to his purpose, God has a purpose. Amen. God has a purpose. God is just so good. It is one thing to ask God why, and another thing to doubt his goodness and his existence in your life, in your family life. Amen. But in that confusing situation, you know, we pray for wisdom and we ask and expect an answer. So we have to be still enough through that emotions to listen, to give God thanks daily and trust in the Lord with all our heart. Because we have to know for a fact that he knows what he's doing. Without a shadow of a doubt, he knows what he's doing. Amen. You know, Pastor and Prophet Teresa Dodd spoke of kingdom building on yesterday. And she talked about it, that, you know, that we, our heart has to be where we are there to kingdom build. We can't stand in the gap and build something when we are all discombobulated. We have to be there. You know, we're building a kingdom for God, and we had to catch individuals and say the right things and know the word so we can be able to administer to others. Because we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it. We have an assignment, and we're doing it for God. We're building it. We are even. And we evangelize, and we dare to go out into the highways, into the byways, and we are there to build God's kingdom. As we build God's kingdom, the wall around us are stronger. It's like every time we go out there and take on the assignment that God put before us, we're putting that block up. Every day that is building that wall around us that's protecting us from evil. Amen. I mean, it's just, that kingdom building is just so wonderful. And on yesterday, I was talking with Minister Dave and Brother Dave, and after talking with him and this young man, he said, Elder Docs, he said, you know, can I pray for you? And this man prayed, and it's funny, you know, when I listen to his time on the air on Tuesday, I find, you know, it's just like I listen to him, I hear him, and I can feel the Spirit working in him. But when that young man prayed for me, on yesterday, I mean, it touched my heart, because here he is asking to pray for me, and it's just unbelievable, you know, just listen to him pray, and the words that he was saying gave confirmation that God has, the things I had prayed to God about, amen? And he brought up something, and he mentioned something about he was telling me a story about it. His son was texting him and telling him about the world's view and what's going on in the world and Black Lives Matter and police brutality, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And he said, he told his son, you know, when you get caught up in there, you're going to lose sight of what God has for you. And that is so true, because I begin to think about that situation, you know. I begin to think about, you know, the loss of my son and who should I blame. I begin to lose sight of what is really before me. So when you get caught up, you know, in so much, you let that begin to take over the better part of what you should be doing. And when you let that get caught up, and you got to you begin to swallow a lot of that of what's going on in the world, and you get to swallow and making that the biggest part of your life of what's happening, you lose track, you lose sight of your development, of your walk with God. Because yes, I know the power of God, and I know that he controls all things. But do we question him? Yes. But we have to know that, don't lose sight, because God is all powerful. So don't get swallowed up with thoughts that's not even there. You know, thinking about, you know, what should, what could, what would have been. Don't get caught up in activities and make that, now here it is, your struggle. Know the Lord. Know his word. Study to show yourself approved. Amen. Study to show yourself approved. I'll pause for a cause, and I'll be right back. Amen. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Let's just stay on track.
What is my life worth? Just living from breakthrough to breakthrough? A constant hope for a miracle? I live in these days of darkness. I smell my desperation of things prayed for and not yet received. Like, pass me not, O gentle Savior. But he does not seem to hear my cry. I celebrate with you, my sister, with new child, my brother with new car, and then I walk home afterwards, alone, hungry, childless. Being bitten by emptiness is not enough. I even get beaten by rain, emphasizing my pain. Till I'm supposed to remain joyful? Everything is bitter around me, but I'm the salt of the earth. I understand we aren't Christians to only be happy. I mean, Jesus was killed at 33. But what is our life worth? Pilgrim's Progress, the Christian's War, and this song, the one for the future.
A new beginning, brand new life. Lord, we wait to touch the sky. A new season to commence the time. And that one day when we shall rise, welcome to floodgates. Yeah. Ooh, ooh, the new overflow. Ooh. Yeah. Welcome to floodgates. Ooh.
Welcome to the gates. Yes. As she said that Jesus died at 33. You know, and I'm looking at that, and I just appreciate it because I had my son on this earth for 45 years. So God is good. God is good. Don't get caught up in those things. Because if you get caught up in a lot of these things you're hearing about and a lot of these things you're trying to digest, you're starting to forget yourself. You're starting to dislike and hate, and things starting to come into your spirit that's not of God. Amen. In Psalms 10 and 1 and 4, it says, O Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide when I am in trouble? Amen. We have to know that God is not far away. He's right there. In Habakkuk, it says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Although you appear you lost everything, like Job, you don't see the green grass anymore, but you don't lose hope. You rejoice in the Lord. You rejoice in your Savior, because God is a sovereign Lord. Amen. God is just awesome. He's an awesome God. In 2 Corinthians 2:16, it states, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? Right there tells it all. We don't know his thoughts. His thoughts is not our thoughts. We can't teach him. It's impossible. Our arms is too short to box with God. We can't teach him. We don't even come close to even knowing enough to touch him. Amen. In Isaiah 55 and 89, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. So no matter how vivid your imagination may be, you don't come close. No matter how smart and what people might say about you, and the things you have done and you might have achieved, you still don't come close. Because without those achievements you made, it was God behind it all. Amen. Jeremiah 29 says, for I know the plan I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So you got breath in you. You still have a future. You still have hope. God is still there holding your hand. God is still there carrying you across the sand. And there's only one footprint that's his, because he's holding you up all the way. Amen. In Romans 8:20, it says, all things God works for the good, those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So we know no matter what happened, we know that God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. Now, it's funny that we have to realize that no matter what we achieve in our life and no matter what is going down in our life, no matter what happens, what tragedy, what calamity, what is bestowed upon us, we have to realize that if God is not behind us, it's a loss anyway. You know, we regardless if your business blooms, but if God is not behind your business, it's a lost business. In Psalms 127:1-5 it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. Eat the bread of the anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. That is so beautiful. And they are the fruit of the womb, a reward. God is a wonderful God. And, you know, it's this, I'm really teaching and talking to myself, but I'm hoping that what I'm saying will help others in their trials and tribulation. But I am really healing myself. This is a healing word for me. This is lifting me up as I go through these challenges in my life. And I know that in conclusion to what I'm saying is, I want you to know that the devil wants to make you doubt God's goodness. The devil wants you to doubt God's plans for you. The devil wants you to doubt God's timing and the word he has for you. But if you let doubt take over your emotions, if you let the temperament that is running the show that you are performing, the pilot of your plane, yes, you will question. Yes, you will doubt. You will quickly nosedive your life's road. Don't let Satan dictate. Don't let Satan put doubts in your heart and your spirit. Don't let Satan flatline you. Stay on the roller coaster, right? Because you're going to go through up and down. You're going to hit the bumps. But the road is going to smooth out at the end. God is there holding your hand. We need to examine, in all cases, examine ourselves. Who exactly is flying your destiny to eternal life? Amen. Then you look up and you say, Lord, don't let my temperament, don't let my emotions, don't let my doubt or my feelings usurp your rightful place as the head of my life. Amen. Father, you want to say, God, you want to just say, you know, I'm looking to you, and I want you to look at me. I want to be there to listen to you. I want you to increase my faith. I want to pass those tests that is being put before me. I want you to rescue me. Rescue me and take me in your arms. Amen. Rescue me. You want to find hope in that dark hours, because trouble and temptation will always push you. But when it does, allow it to push you towards the Lord. Even when you feel all alone, I will discover that I know who's at the helm of the ship, who's piloting my plane, who will take me safely through the storm. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. I want to thank you today for being obedient to the word of God by listening today and tuning in. And I am, your strength is my strength. You know, your prayers is my prayers. You lift me up just by lending me your ears and being that ram as God bring me through all this. I just want to thank you for just being there for me. Just being my that extra hand I need, those extra feet I need to continue to trot through the sand. I want to thank you for being a soldier of God, for standing on the wall and standing in the gap on me, and just staying there and knowing that, you know, that I feel it, and that kind of strength is keeping me upright. It's keeping my back straight. It's keeping my eyes where it should be, looking forward. I want to thank you. Amen. Thank you for everything, and just continue to be a blessing to someone with you. Continue to be a blessing to someone this weekend. And I want to thank you once again, because our God is always, always on the throne. And always remember that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he will hold your hands when you don't think he's holding it. He's standing right next to you. You're bumping into him every day, and you don't realize it. But just feel the Spirit. Feel the Spirit around you. Feel the hope around you. Feel the trust around you. Feel the faith around you. Feel it. Feel it and keep walking. Keep walking towards the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think I'll turn this over to Pastor and the Prophetess Teresa Dox. Amen. Amen. A great supporter of mine. Amen. That's my helpmate. That's the backbone. That's that rib that I was trying to get back, but God knows that he put it in the right place. Amen. Amen.
You tore the veil so I could see the beauty of your majesty. The blood-stained arms you carry me into your love eternally. The empty tomb, it heals our stains. The grip of hell will not remain. Filled with your power, I'm standing free. Jesus, you are my glorious King.
No power over me. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Elder, for just standing tall and allowing God to hold your hand. God is holding our hand and leading, guiding, and directing us. You know, there's something about when you have a seed in the ground. Hallelujah. When there's a seed in the ground, it will manifest. So I want to encourage everyone to keep putting those seeds in the ground, because when you need those seeds, they will be there. Hallelujah. As Elder was going forth, I was just so elated because, you know, when you think about death, and you think about the Lord Jesus has conquered the valley of the shadow of death. He's the one who rose from the dead. When we're down in the valley, hallelujah, when we're in the cave, when he went down in the valley, he looked up at the mountain. Remember Mount Calvary, Mount Zion. Remember, there can be no shadow without a light. Death is just a shadow. And if you know the Lord Jesus, Jesus has become the death of death. He pulled the string out of death. He said death was the last enemy that he was going to destroy. Jesus has given us hope. Hallelujah. The steadfast and sure. A shadow may frighten us, but a shadow can't harm us. Think about it. I don't want to preach behind you, Elder, but I thank God that he took the steam out of death, that death has no victory, that he is a victor, and so are we. So as we walk through the shadow, through the valley of the shadow of death, we took our light. And Elder's still going forth. We're still preaching and teaching the gospel. We're still excited and delighted. And I tell you, pray for us, and we're going to pray for you. And as my brother, my son in the spirit, hallelujah, he say, watch what God's going to do. So I want you to keep your eyes open and be in great expectation. And if you like what we're doing, just continue to sow into the ministry. I'm telling you, we're not stopping. We're multiplying. You know how they say, they don't die, they multiply. Hallelujah. We're multiplying. Amen, amen. Join us. Brother Dave is coming on. If you know some young men, I want to encourage you to call them up. Give them the number. Give them the website, blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. He's coming on next, and you can just call back in. He'll be on live. I want to tell you, you don't want to miss it. You think you're busy? No, you want to join in. He got a word for men, FMAM, for men, about men. I got it. Hallelujah. And I want you to get it. So call back in at 6 o'clock. He's going to be coming on next. Thank you so much for joining us. And I pray that you lend your ear to Brother Dave. Call somebody and tell them they don't want to miss what God is doing. Amen, because he's doing it again. God bless everyone. Have a supernatural rest of your day. God bless you.